Welcome to the Blood Cancer Experience, a podcast series presented by the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Canada. This series connects people affected by blood cancers to their community with stories of hope, healing, and help.
Hello, I'm George Athens, your host, and welcome to the LLSC's ongoing series of podcasts dealing with blood cancers. Today, we're speaking with Sarah Robertson in Stoney Creek, Ontario. Our topic is treatment-related information. Thanks for joining us, Sarah.
Thank you.
Can we start with, some information on the type of cancer that you had and when and at what age?
Yeah, I was diagnosed with an aggressive mutation of acute myeloid leukemia. I was 29 years old, and it was about 2.5 years ago at this point.
So when you were diagnosed, you had to undergo a stem cell transplant. Can you describe your experience of being treated that way?
Yeah, absolutely. Once I was diagnosed, I initially went into my induction round of chemo. I believe it was during my second consolidation round of chemotherapy that they identified my mutation was quite aggressive. It was referred to as mixed lineage leukemia. So there were some components of that that sort of align closely with my understanding is ALL as well. And so that's what required me to also need a transplant. So I finished a third round of consolidation chemotherapy, and then I started my transplant a short few months later. They had to look for a genetically matched donor for me. They tested my family, and they were unfortunately not a match, but that's relatively common. And so we went to the international registry. And I was able to find a match quite quickly there, luckily enough. And I had a 9 out of 10 match, unrelated donor, thankfully enough.
Wow, that was lucky. Can you tell us a little bit more about consolidation therapy? What does that mean exactly?
Yeah, so my understanding is the induction round is sort of the kickoff, and the hope with that is to get into remission. I was lucky enough to get into remission with induction. And then they follow it up with consolidation, which is just a higher dose volume of chemotherapy, similar to the induction round, at least in my case. It was the same kind of type or brand of chemo that I received. And it's just at sort of an immensely higher dose. And that's really to just sort of kick the cancer down and make sure that you stay in remission. In my case, until I got into transplant, but for some, my understanding is for kind of lesser intense mutations, they can just sort of get away with doing consolidation rounds. But so for me, it was to sort of keep me into remission into the transplant cycle, and then get into transplant from there.
What was the most challenging part before, during, and after your treatment?
I think for me, it was a lot of uncertainty, right? So there was uncertainty initially, I think in terms of what, you know, I was feeling sort of sick. And so what sort of diagnosis I might've been looking at. Blood cancer was certainly never on my list of possibilities of things that I had Googled at the time. So that was, you know, that was certainly surprising. And then waiting to hear that level of uncertainty and sort of waiting to hear if I needed a transplant, and then finding out that I did, waiting to hear if I would get a donor, and then obviously hoping that it was successful in sort of the long run. And I'm lucky to say that it was ultimately, but I think there's, you know, that level of uncertainty is a big sort of challenge. It's difficult to navigate. There's a lot of pieces at play and a lot of different sort of follow-ups and various testing and things that need to be done as you lead into transplant. And so it was just sort of, for me, it was sort of taking everything kind of day by day, and really sort of narrowing my focus in life to make sure that I could just sort of get through to the next sort of milestone in that scheme of treatment. And then, you know, in tandem, sort of having bigger picture things to look forward to, but really just sort of focusing on kind of the minutia of getting through the treatment cycles.
Is there any information that would have been helpful to know before your treatment?
I guess that it's more common than people think. I think blood cancer, you know, I was the first person in my family really to be diagnosed with cancer. And so it was sort of this, I was immediately pulled into this kind of other world. And I think that it would have been helpful to know that, you know, while this was uncommon in kind of my scope or my purview at the time, that it is sort of something that does very much happen, right? I think it's 1 in 2 Canadians will be diagnosed with cancer at some point during their lifetime. And so for me, that wasn't something that I had experienced at that point in my life, but I think just sort of realizing how sort of common cancer can be and blood cancer at that, and sort of reaching out to, I think if anything, I would have reached out to various cancer communities a little bit sooner, and sought out some additional support kind of earlier on. Whereas I kind of, on the onset, I was sort of keeping one foot in the regular world instead of kind of going all into sort of being a quote unquote cancer patient. And so I think that would have been kind of something I might have changed looking back.
You just talked about support. What kind of support did you get during your transplanted treatment, and was that helpful?
Yes, I was quite fortunate, honestly. I had incredible support from my husband. My young son was always a good sleeper, so that was great for us. And I had other sort of direct family support, people stopping work, making career changes to come and live with us, and help take care of, you know, the day-to-day pieces to make it a lot easier, and a supplementary sort of family support, as well as various friends that were really great at sticking with me through everything. But then also sort of reaching out to the LLSC, or Young Adult Cancer Canada, other sort of cancer organizations, to find a balance between getting some level of information to feel comfortable, but also not overwhelming yourself with stats and some of those challenging pieces, but also just sort of looking at some of the social sides of, sitting in on webinars or, different sort of social chats and things like that, especially in, you know, it was sort of through my diagnosis, it sort of dovetailed right into the pandemic. And so I was able to sort of participate in a lot of virtual items, which worked out quite well with my transplant, as you're really sort of immunocompromised. You're not meant to leave the house really. And, you know, you want to be very careful in sort of avoiding any type of infection, but particularly at the time, COVID infections. And so participating in various sort of virtual supports was very helpful and really sort of made a difference in just sort of being post-transplant and in kind of that COVID question mark era of time, early 2020 and so on.
Has this whole ordeal changed your life in any way? Is there a positive takeaway from all of this?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, having sort of the level of support that I had so quickly was really moving, and is something that you're never really sure how those things are going to play out until it sort of happens. And so that really helped me quite a bit in just sort of realizing that, you know, I have a really, really wonderful, really well-connected support system. And then I think also just this sort of perspective change in terms of the things that I value, right? I think, you know, I came into cancer sort of in my late 20s. I was very career focused at the time. I was very much sort of trying to move all the pieces of my life together to sort of move me to different positions and different things. And I think cancer really sort of forced me to slow down, to focus on myself and my health, and make that a true priority, so that I'm able to kind of be around for the long term instead of just focusing on, you know, sort of those grander pictures. I'm able to sort of enjoy a little bit more, and sort of take a step back and be healthy and kind of focus on really where I want to put my energy into to be sort of successful and happy at the end of the day. So I think it was definitely, you know, it's a hard experience. It's not something I would wish on sort of anyone, but I think it's been, you know, it's been really wonderful, and I've been able to sort of take that and sort of relay it into various aspects of my life, very luckily.
How would you say that you are doing today?
I think, you know, back to that sort of new normal, there's definitely some changes. I think there's some mental health pieces that kind of linger, right? It's very challenging to go through that at such a young age. But I'm, you know, I've been running about kind of 4 clicks a few times a week. I'm up playing with my son and hiking and sailing in the summer season. It's getting a little bit cold now, but you know, we've been sort of enjoying those different pieces as we can, and getting back to sort of a lot of normal life, I would say, a lot more sort of normal life, which has been fabulous.
Well, as we conclude this podcast, I must say that you are extremely well informed on the subject, and all of this information is going to be very helpful to others that are facing similar challenges. So thanks so much for joining us today, Sarah.
Awesome. Thank you.
If listeners have any questions about this podcast or need any support or resources to navigate your experience, I encourage you to connect with the community service manager in your region. For more information, visit bloodcancers.ca. If you liked our podcast, be sure to subscribe and leave us a review. You can find us wherever you access your favorite podcasts. We also welcome any ideas for our program, so we'd love to hear from you. Send us an email with your suggestions or comments at info@bloodcancers.ca. Until next time, stay well and stay connected.
Thank you for listening to The Blood Cancer Experience, a series of podcasts presented by the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Canada. We are committed to supporting the blood cancer community through programs, services, and research.